It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Elvis Gerbach. He was a NFL quarterback for 9 years with the likes of the San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs, and also the Baltimore Ravens. He's a product of the University of Michigan as well, where he played with his high school teammate and Heisman Trophy winner Desmond Howard. But now he's doing something a little bit different that probably most NFL quarterbacks don't do, and he's pursuing a master's in theology. He's also coaching at the high school level and forming young men and coaches in the Catholic faith. I'd like to welcome Elvis Gerbach to Blessed to Play. Elvis, it's so great to have you on again.
Ron, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Now, let's. The first question I had for you is that being an Ohio kid, a Cleveland kid, you slipped away from the Buckeyes and went to Michigan to play in Ann Arbor. And I know there was a coaching change. I think Earl Bruce was on his way out. But just talk about that decision, why you ultimately landed in Michigan.
Yeah, so I had I had an opportunity to go and visit Michigan. I had some visits from Ohio State and the staff of Earl Bruce. Earl Bruce went through his season, and then that year, I believe he had a couple losses. I think he won the last game against Michigan, but they still fired him, if I stand corrected. I think that was what happened. And, you know, being a kid in Ohio on Sundays, I would always watch the Earl Bruce show. Mm-hmm. Either it was like right after Mass or right before we went to Mass. And I just remember watching, you know, those guys playing, the Jim Carsados and Keith Byers and all those guys. And I was like, man, that would be awesome to do that one day. And lo and behold, I had a pretty decent, you know, high school career, and Ohio State came in, and Earl Bruce had gotten fired that year and never really heard from Ohio State after that. John Cooper took over, and actually, you know, Desmond Howard was my tailback in high school. He and I both were getting recruited by Ohio State and then never heard from Ohio State after that. I think maybe Des, maybe a little bit, but Gary Moeller was the recruiting coordinator here in the Cleveland area for Michigan. And we were kind of on his radar for a long time. And for me, you know, I didn't throw very often at St. Joe's because of, you know, when you have a Super Bowl MVP in your backfield, you can hand the ball off to him. And a Heisman Trophy winner. You know, I really went there because I earned a scholarship the way I played basketball. And that's a whole nother story we can get into. But I really earned it on the basketball court, lo and behold, at San Ignatius High School that I'm teaching at now. And had an opportunity to get a full ride at Michigan. I had some, you know, Nick Saban came in when he was with Michigan State.
Yeah.
And talked to him for a little bit. But ultimately, you know, I went to Michigan just on the fact that that was the best opportunity for me academically, mm-hmm. you know, out of the different schools that I was looking at.
Were you more passionate about football or the game of basketball in high school?
No, I was more passionate about basketball. I played basketball since I was, you know, 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I tell kids nowadays, I tell them I'm a better basketball player than I am a football player. Go figure. I love basketball. I've always loved basketball. I love watching it, especially now with the tournament going on.
Right.
And it's just one of those games that I just fell in love with when I was a kid. And I went to St. Joe's, and we were very, very good. Mike Moran was our head coach for the basketball program there. And we had a ton of guys that went Division I in basketball. But I did, and I had some scholarships in basketball, maybe not at the really high division level, more MAC schools. And really, like I said, you know, when I had an opportunity to get a full ride to Michigan because of the academics and everything, I jumped on it right away.
Well, I'm thinking at 6'5", which you are, and 240 pounds, I'm thinking back then you might be played forward, maybe even center, but you would have had to morph into a 3-point shooting point guard.
Yeah, I was a three. Think about that. My junior year, our front court was, Tregley went to Ohio State, he was 6'8", 6'9". Uh-huh. Eric Riley, who played at Michigan with when I was there, when Des and I went to Michigan, we all graduated together out of St. Joe's. He's a 7-footer. And then John Buford went up to Detroit, and he was 6'10". So our front court was unbelievable. And our two point guards were about 6'3". And I was coming off the bench as maybe kind of like a sixth or seventh my junior year. So go figure.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Elvis Gerback, former NFL quarterback and now studying theology. How about that? I can't wait to get into that discussion. Now, while at Michigan, this is interesting to me. You put up some great numbers, over 6,400 yards passing, I should say, and over, I think, 71 touchdowns. And then you get drafted in kind of the later round when you went into the NFL draft. Were you disappointed being with the numbers that you put up at Michigan and where you went in that draft?
No, you got to remember that was the first year that they went to the salary cap. And so when we went to the combine, that was kind of like the big talk, like how is this going to work out, you know, draft ordering and things like that. Mm-hmm. And everything kind of shook out. And I think back then there was more rounds compared to it is now. And that year, Rick Meyer and Drew Bledsoe, I think, went 1 and 2, something like that. And then there was a little bit of a gap. And then I think there was like maybe like one or two guys that maybe went in the third round. And then the rest of us went into later rounds. And so that was kind of like that's what happened that year. And then obviously it changes, you know, as the years go on. But, you know, there's Trent Green, I think, was later in the rounds and things like that. So there's a whole bunch of us that were just a little bit later. And I wasn't disappointed. I got drafted by the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And but watching them play and be able to kind of learn from them. Right. When I got to the 49ers, you know, we had at least anywhere from 10 to 15 guys that had been on the team for 10 years or more. Think about that. That never happens anymore. And so to be able to sit and watch a Steve Young, how does he get prepared for a game? How does he practice? Jerry Rice, how does he practice? How does he get prepared? You know, in the offseason, I spent time with Joe Montana and Bill Walsh going through footwork and reads and things like that. I mean, my 4 years in San Francisco were probably the most treasured moments that I as I had as a player and learning about the game of football. That it's kind of like my core now.
Right.
Like when I coach football at San Ignatius, I go back to that, and they won't, you know, some of my coaches, you know, just don't understand that kind of, like, you know, Bill Walsh was like the guru, and he really kind of developed that West Coast offense. And then since then, the Mike Shanahans and everybody else have really kind of developed that offense. And then obviously the offenses are different now than they were back then. But think about just the thought process for the quarterback and the footwork and everything. You know, those 4 years for me were like so solid and so fundamental for me. So I was never disappointed that I didn't go a little bit earlier. I just looked at it as an opportunity to maybe learn from some of the greats.
Yeah.
And I had that opportunity. I took advantage of it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, Steve Young, and then you had such a staff there at the 49ers. It really prepared you for the rest of your career. And, you know, confidence is key for any athlete, no matter what they're playing. But when was that time? Was there a game? Was there a moment that gained you confidence and said, hey, I could play as an elite NFL quarterback?
Yeah, right away. I got in a game in a preseason. We were at Denver, the old Denver Stadium.
My life.
And I got to play, I think it was maybe like the second or third preseason game. And, you know, at that time, Steve Young was on the roster, obviously, Steve Bono, mm-hmm. Billy Musgrave, and then myself. I'm fighting for a job. And so I get pretty much about three quarters, I think, of playing time up in Denver, and it's the old stadium. And it's not, you know, the old stadium, we're in one of the end zone. I mean, the rafters up top are literally touching the goalposts, for crying out loud. It's that close. And it was so loud. And I remember going into that game, and it played pretty well. And I think we had an opportunity maybe at the end of the game to go in a 2-minute mode. And I went right down, I think it scored or kicked a field goal to win the game. And so that kind of gave me a lot of confidence. I mean, think about a young kid coming mm-hmm. out of Michigan with that offense, going into the West Coast offense mm-hmm. and really trying to learn that. It really takes you about 2 years of experience to really kind of understand the West Coast offense. I understand it now. I can teach it now. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, as a young kid coming in, that was one game that I will hang my hat on that I said, boy, thank God it happened early, because it really kind of showed to the organization that it can, I can handle the West Coast offense. And they really kind of, you know, after that, Steve Bono goes to Kansas City, and then Billy Musgrave moves on. And so really I'm the backup for Steve Young. So that really kind of, you know, showed to the organization that I could handle it.
Do you identify with one team more than the other throughout your career?
Yeah, because of the opportunity that I got to learn from those players, you know, my kids, my students ask me now, like, Mr. Gerback, who's the best wide receiver of all time? I say, there's nobody. There's Jerry Rice and nobody else.
Yeah.
Just the way Jerry conducted himself in the meeting rooms, on the field, off the field. I mean, this is an old school saying, but he was the first one at practice and the last one to leave the field. I mean, just, it was, and me, there was a couple games that I got in, I think it was my second year there. And, you know, during practice, he and I would talk about certain routes and things like that. And he was just a great comfort to have, to kind of, and he was always open and willing to teach other guys. That was the one thing about the 49ers. And I can go back into San Francisco today, and if I run into a Ronnie Lott that I did not play with,
yeah,
Ronnie had already left, he goes, there was an off-season thing that we got invited to from Mr. DiBartolo. We went, my wife and I went, and Ronnie came up to me and he goes, you're a 49er for life now. Once you play for the 49ers, you're part of this club. And that really kind of like stuck with me. So like when I go back to San Francisco,
yeah,
you know, it's, I can reach out to a whole bunch of 49ers that still live there. And I'm part of that, like just say that group of people.
Well, you didn't leave your heart only in San Francisco, but in Cleveland as well. But we're going to continue our discussion with Elvis Gerback, Super Bowl champion with the San Francisco 49ers. Keep it right here when Bless the Play returns.
EWTN uses the power of radio to reach people whenever and wherever they're searching for answers to questions about their Catholic faith. EWTN Radio is heard on over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio affiliates. For a complete list of programs and how to hear EWTN Radio, visit EWTN.com and click radio. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
Welcome back to Bless the Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Elvis Gerback, and what a career he has had in his life with the sport of football. He was a Michigan Wolverine. He was a two-time first-team All-Big Ten, and then he made his progression into the National Football League, where he won a Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers, also played with the Kansas City Chiefs, and closed out his career in Baltimore with the Ravens. But it's interesting because Elvis is not sitting on a beach, on a veranda. In fact, he's forming young men and coaches through his, you know, his acumen for theology and also his faith life. And he's at a high school, St. Ignatius in Cleveland, Ohio. He's doing a little bit coaching too with the quarterbacks, but he's, I think, at the heart of what he does is forming men in the faith. And Elvis, you know, I heard you speak, and I know there was a point in your life, and maybe you could talk about this briefly, where you converted or had a reconversion to your faith. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? And this gave you the impetus to do what you're doing now.
Yeah, you know, I'm born Catholic. Let's just put it that way. My parents, you know, came from Yugoslavia, which is actually Croatia. I'm 100% Croatian. Mm-hmm. And Roman Catholic to the core since I was a little kid. And then I got into athletics, especially, you know, in high school in Michigan and then the 49ers and in the NFL, and, you know, which is typical. And I give this talk to a lot of men's groups around the country I always talk about faith, family, and whatever you do for a living in football. That's what guys want to hear about. They want to hear about the NFL life. Mm-hmm. And it's the correct ordering. You know, if you had that faith life first, then everything kind of falls into place. But which is typical of all of us, is that kind of gets reversed a little bit. You know, what we do for a living mm-hmm. Really kind of defines who we are. Mm-hmm. And then your family is always there that you could always count on. But then your faith life really kind of dwindles away because of the time and effort that you want to put into your specific profession. And so, that was very typical for me. When I was done playing in 2001, mm-hmm. you know, I had a great opportunity to really kind of spend some time with my family, my high school sweetheart. I married my wife and we have three kids. They were super young at that time. And I had an opportunity to really kind of spend some time with them. And I did, coaching them and everything. So it was really just a blessing to be able to do that. But, you know, I'm always kind of like, I don't like reverts or converts or anything. I think let's be frank about it mm-hmm. is once you are baptized, you're either with Christ or you're not. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it out there on the table. And, you know, I, for all those years that I was playing, I put Christ on the shelf and, I had an opportunity, after I was, you know, coaching my kids and everything, I had an opportunity to go to a Lenten mission over here in the Cleveland area, and Father Larry Richards. And the people who are listening to this know who Father Larry Richards is. He can be very, very harsh at times. But as a former NFL quarterback and, you know, playing for the likes of Bo Schembechler and Bill Walsh and those kind of coaches, I needed somebody to kind of give me direct orders. And Father Larry Richards was that person. And that night I went in and went to confession for the first time, probably in about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And not like, you know, I tell the guys that I talk to around the country, it's not like a confessional where you can kind of hide behind walls. It was in a big meeting room, in a corner with two chairs. And the next person is maybe like 6 feet behind you. So try to do that confession. So I did that, and that really changed. I really was at the point where, you know what, I got up out of that chair after confession. I said, this is never going to happen again. I'm not going to do this again. And that's where really I kind of made a commitment to putting Christ at the center of my life and everything that I do. And that means everything. And it really took me a good year and a half to really kind of like, who am I? Who really am I? And I say that in the beginning of my talks with the men, mm-hmm. is that you have this notion of who I am. Oh my God, it's Elvis Grubach. He played in the NFL. I remember him. I remember him playing at Kansas City or wherever it was. And by the end of the talk, I want to make sure that they see somebody different, mm-hmm. somebody who has Christ in his life. And he's kind of gone through the ups and downs a little bit through life. And now he's doing things that Christ is asking him to do that he would never have thought that he would be doing now, none whatsoever. And so, you know, those opportunities to really kind of like turn back to Christ and really, you know, make him the focal of my life. And I say typically right around at the end of my talk, I said, think about this, guys. You know, I won a Super Bowl, played in the Pro Bowl, multiple, you know, played a national championship in college. I did all those things. And what I'm doing now is greater than any of those things that I've ever done. Hmm. And I think people are like blown away by that when I say that, because, you know, you put so much time and effort to be a professional athlete.
Right.
And then you go, wait a minute, Christ is calling you to something greater. And that's what I encourage anybody who's listening to this, is that put Christ in the center of your life and watch what he does to your life. Mm-hmm. Your life changes completely for the good of everything that you do. So, you know, I just, like I said, I had some opportunities to turn back to him and put him at the center of what I do.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer once again, chatting with Elvis Grubach, former NFL quarterback and now teaching theology at a Catholic high school in Cleveland. So you have the opportunity now to work with coaches and to work with young athletes. And, you know, I remember when I was playing sports in high school, I never heard that message of of faith amongst coaches. I just, that wasn't my life experience. But I think if you were there talking to me when I was young, I would have been like a sponge because I never heard it before. What are you trying to communicate to coaches and athletes? And I think probably identity has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. So, you know, I have my master's there at St. Mary's Seminary here in the Cleveland area. I received my master's in theology last spring, and an opportunity came up at St. Ignatius High School, which I had coached prior to me teaching. Mm-hmm. My two boys went to high school there, and I coached with Coach Kyle there for a number of years and had an opportunity. And then now this kind of came up, that this teaching position came up. And so I jumped on it, and I teach freshman theology. And then also I coach quarterbacks, which, you know, I can do with my, you know, my eyes closed. and then Father Guillaume, who is the president of the school, really asked me, we do such an amazing job as staff of mm-hmm. talking about Ignatian spirituality and our mission of the school, and the things that we talk about for our students, we ingrain in them and everything that we do in our curriculum and everything that we do in our service, you know, outside the community, things like that. What we're noticing is that we have student athletes, a number of student athletes, I mean, we're probably over 1,000 of our students are student athletes in some shape or form. 90% of our coaches, which we're pushing up to about close to about 150 coaches on staff for all our athletics.
Wow.
90% of them are coming from outside the building. Mm-hmm. So think about that. And so here is a young kid who comes in and is being formed in everything that we're doing as staff members and the entire administration for the entire day. And then they go and they spend time with their coaches from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock, you know, Monday through Friday, Saturdays, and sometimes on Sundays. And so, you know, Father Guillaume and I talked about this, is these student athletes are spending more time with their coaches than sometimes their teachers. And on top of that, they're spending more time with their coaches than they are with their parents. So it would behoove us as a staff, as an administration, to make sure that our coaches are formed in everything that we are formed at St. Ignatius High School also. And so I have been given the task as the director of our coaching formational program to form our coaches and everything that we do at St. Ignatius High School and how we administrate and our curriculum and everything to our students. So it's a continuation mm-hmm. of our mission from start to finish of the entire day. What we envision is there's no lack of forming these young men in everything they do. So it's a great task, but it is something that it was needed, and we're going to continue to. We're actually starting in the development part of it. This is the first year of it, and really, I'm going out and meeting the coaches and creating a relationship with the coaches and trying to understand where they're at in context of their faith. And then we're going to invite them into certain specific small group meetings. Mm-hmm. And then we're starting to develop also deeper within the next year here, more faith sharing and more faith groups coming together and really trying to form these coaches that are forming our young men.
Yeah, that's great. We only have a couple of minutes remaining, but the thought that came to mind was apostles, because you're forming these athletes and coaches in the classroom and also through your coaching as well. And then they're going out peer to peer. And is that part of the mission as well? I mean, you're preparing them to go out and to, you know, to invigorate and to talk about their faith lives as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think any person who is formed in some shape or form, or, you know, they're going to, like myself, they're going to go out and evangelize what they've been taught. And I think it's really critical that what we're doing for our student athletes, that continues with our coaches. And just think if we didn't do that, and that's been going on for some time, we're not servicing our young men. We're not forming our young men from start to finish. And this is something that has been needed for some time. And I think the opportunities for coaches to really kind of reinvigorate their faith. And it doesn't mean that, you know, all of them are going to be Catholic, mm-hmm. Christian. You know, they're going to come from all different walks of life. And in a nation way, we're going to go out and meet that coach where he's at,
yeah.
And invite him to continue to be formed in everything that we do. And so that's a big task. But, you know, I love doing it. Like I said, I've had great coaches in the past. I can name 1,000 coaches that I've been around, mm-hmm. And they had formed me in a very specific way, all the way from my high school coach, and now have an opportunity to do this and carry this on. You know,
yeah.
here's a kid from Cleveland, Ohio that has been formed by all these great coaches. I have an opportunity to pass that on to the next group of coaches. That will be able to do the same thing.
Well, Elvis Gerbach has been our guest. What a athlete, folks, a Pro Bowl quarterback, a Super Bowl champion. And his heart was obviously touched by Christ. And now he's giving back by forming coaches and athletes in the faith. And that's the way people go out and share their faith and invigorate others. And he's preparing those coaches and athletes to do just that. Elvis, thanks so much for the time. I do appreciate it. And all that you do. And thank you for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
Thank you so much. And God bless to everybody.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can like us on Facebook and hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Elvis Gerbach, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.